Very nice. Very nice. You know those little high when you go now, you know, you go high. All you got to do is raise your eyebrows. And it just goes up with it. Really, really expressive, really expressive. Yeah, that's the answer. Or wear a really bright red shirt up front. Is it Thanksgiving or Christmas? I just want to know. Oh, no, it is decorated. Beautiful job, by the way. Beautiful job. My wife and I were here till midnight last night, and if you believe that, yeah. Oh, hey, we've got a kids' musical coming up that I am excited about because it's all in my backpack. I'm not doing it, but I want to do something different. We're doing something different. So I need your help, especially the ladies or the guys. But we started taping yesterday in the afternoon. So my office has turned into a studio. It's pretty cool, I might say. It's got a little Hollywood in it. All right, you can go peek. It's got a little Hollywood in it. And where is Megan? Megan, can you hear me out there? You can kind of wander in if you want. There is a gal that is in charge that is really the director. Come on up front. And I want to introduce to her. She's sort of new to our church. She's going to share her testimony, ladies, at the women's dinner, which can be cool. This is Megan. Welcome, Megan, please.
Hello.
What do you do for a living, by the way?
I'm a professional stunt woman in Hollywood.
Come on. Hi-ya! Sorry. You know, I'm always afraid that if somebody's new at our church, they go, that can't be the pastor. So we need all of you moms to schedule an appointment because you got to bring your kids in. And if you've got two or three, that's great. Bring them all at once, kind of dressed up Christmas style. And on the 11th, they're going to be on this screen, and we're going to do a 20, 25 minute or so, and it's going to be really cool. They're going to tell the Christmas story and look darling. And so tell them what they need to do.
It's very simple. We've got everything scheduled in one-hour blocks. So this year, you only have to commit to maybe an hour with your kids here at the church. So there's no rehearsals. We'll bring them in. We'll have some coloring set up when they're not filming. We're going to film them, and if we can have them dressed kind of in fun Christmassy outfits, for the girls, it can be cute.
Can they wear, like, ugly Christmas sweaters?
Oh, we highly encourage ugly Christmas sweaters. Okay, anyway. Ugly Christmas sweaters, antlers, Santa hats, anything fun, festive, cute, anything that kind of just says Christmas. We do prefer no solid black or white because we do have a black background, and we don't kind of want, like, a little bouncing head. We do want them to stand out and look look really cute and festive. So
what did we get yesterday? I didn't see it. Talk to them.
We got some really good gems. I know some parents are a little bummed that it's not the traditional musical, but I promise that.
Oh, they're complaining already? And they haven't even seen our work?
No. It's not
complaints. These people are complaining?
No. It's not a complaint at all. But I do promise you will get one of the best Christmas gems you've seen in a while. You're gonna get a special gift from all of your kids.
So what days can they sign up? We've got about 7 days or 11 days, and we've got to be in the how does Hollywood call it? In the can?
We got to get it all in the can. Okay. We got to get it. That's what it is. So yeah. We're filming this afternoon from 12 to 4. You can come sign up for a time, and then we are filming next Saturday all day from 10 to 4, and next Sunday 12 to 4. If you aren't sure of your schedule right now, I can give you my email address before you leave, and you can email me, and I can also send you all of the rest of the information so you can read it as well.
Now, tell us about your team. Who's on your team?
Oh, we have a great team. Is Joe back there? Yeah. We've got Joe Patterson. He's helping out. Yeah. David Goldstein and his son Josh. Is Josh
excuse
here?
Me. That's the commander.
I'm sorry. Commander. Forgive me. The commander. Pastor Jim is kind of peeking in, and he's kind of playing producer. I will give him that. I'll give him that role.
Yeah, I'm bringing the money. Now my daughter's over here, and she's got 3 kids, 5 and under.
Perfect.
Can you handle all of them?
I can totally handle.
Have you
all
ever
them.
Met them?
I have not met them.
Okay, good. Do you want them all in the same room at the same time?
Some of them, we can do them all in the same room at the same time. We can do individuals
good,
as
good.
Well.
Okay, so where is your table?
Our table is set up right outside of the front doors here.
You know, she is doing so well. I think we're just going to have her do the message. I'm going to sit next to you. Carrington, I'm going to sit right there. Okay. Give her a hand, huh? Thank you.
Awesome. Okay.
Okay, I got it. You're good. Thank you so much. So fun to see new folks step up and put their time in. Also, yesterday we had a memorial service here. Some of you didn't hear because Jason and Keith's father passed away last Sunday, I think around 1 o'clock, 1:30. So we really couldn't make an announcement, but we had the service here yesterday, and it was really warm and old friends. He grew up in Lameda, and so he was a South Bay guy, and they have been, other than some of their college experience, they have been around here as, you know, the normal drummer and guitar player. You know Jason and Keith, the really handsome guys, as their dad would share with you, because we made it very clear that he was very proud of his two sons yesterday, and he really was. He would tell you if you had 5 minutes with him, and it's just a really warm service, and they got to share about their dad in detail, and it was just an awful good day. And that's how it is with memorial services. But good to know that he accepted Jesus at Hope Chapel somewhere in 2009 and was baptized. And so with that confidence in his life, we trust that he's in heaven for all eternity, where one day every one of you are going to be, right? Yeah, thank you. That was a little weak, but that's okay. All right. So today's theme, in sync with Jesus. And we're going to talk about that a bit. We're in a series entitled Jesus Showing Up, and we're kind of trying to go down a little bit of a different track and talk about ways that Jesus visits your life and that you can recognize it, and maybe sometimes you'll sense it and it's not true, so be it, but to become sensitive to Jesus showing up in your life, that he's actually got an active role in who you are, is a pretty cool thing. So we're working through this very gently, very slowly, no rush, as usual, but I think you'll enjoy today. It seems that one day a kindergarten teacher, and you got to respect teachers, they have one of the hardest jobs in the world, they really do, was helping one of her students put on his cowboy boots. He asked for help, and she could see why. Even with her pulling him and pushing, the little boots still didn't want to go on. Finally, when the second boot was on, she'd worked up just a little sweat. Just a little one. She almost cried when the little boy said, "Teacher, they're on the wrong feet." She looked down, and sure enough, yep, they're on the wrong feet. It wasn't any easier pulling the boots off than it was putting them on. But she managed to keep her cool as together they worked to get the boots back on. This time, on the right feet. And it was only then that he announced, the little boy, "These aren't my boots. These aren't my boots." She bit her tongue rather than scream. "Why didn't you say so?" She asked. And once again, she struggled to help him pull the ill-fitting boots off his feet. This is a good teacher. This is a dream teacher. No sooner had they got the boots off, then he said, "They're my brother's boots. My mom made me wear them today." Stifling a scream at this point, she murmured and mustered up all the grace and courage she had to wrestle the ill-fitting boots off of his feet again. Helping him into his coat and helping him back on, and helping him with his coat. "Now, where are your mittens?" To which he replied, "I stuffed them in the toes of my boots." The article ends, and I'm sure it's a joke, but it says her trial starts next month. I don't think that really happened, but I liked it. Now, in this series, we're trying to say, where does Jesus fit? Is he just a doctrine in our life? Is he just a body of truth that the Bible proclaims? That it's a Savior that 2,000 years ago, he hung on a cross for you and me, and he bled to pay the price for our sins? And that we just need to believe in him and then kind of move through life, listening to the Bible, trying to recraft our character as God would want us, and begin to think about, ponder God's will, and try to do it to the best of our ability, knowing full well we aren't going to do it to perfection. Is that all it is? Or is it a relationship that's real? I don't look like my wife as the doctrine of a wife. It's true, Sandy is my wife. And I have some hopes and some minor expectations. One being that she doesn't get a boyfriend. I know you're shaking your head, Meg. We got to laugh a little. Jesus is so much more than we know. And we're trying to dig down as best we can. So how do we figure out how he really wants to relate to us? Based on what he's told us. We can't make stuff up, folks. But I believe Jesus wants to be so much more active in our life than we've allowed or understood him to be. Jesus doesn't talk to me. He hasn't, and he's not gonna, verbally. That's not what he designed. There is a trust relationship and bond from me to him and from you to him that we need to pour into, that we need to understand more. But he is there. He said it over and over and over again. And I don't know that we treat him like he's there, or we look for him to be there all day, every day. And I would love for this to just become normal in our life, that we anticipate and expect him to show up in our life before the sun goes down today. And I don't know what it's going to be, and it may be quiet and not understandable. But please understand that Jesus in the Bible loves you and is available and is showing up in your life. The question is, are you looking for it? And do you want to see it if it's there? Jesus is not just about going to heaven. He wants to make some impact through you and through me as we live the years of our life. Let's pray as we begin. I could just go on. Maybe I will while I pray. You know, I just got to tell you, before you bow your heads, you're all so submissive. Oh, you're so sweet. You know, when you live through a memorial service, they're very sad oftentimes, even though they're celebrations when somebody knows Jesus clearly. But your heart hurts for the family. And it just made me think, you know, preparing, finishing, and coming today. I'm so grateful for all of you. And I'm thinking, what the heck? It's a holiday weekend and it's raining. What are you doing here? I wonder how many people are watching online today. Because it was raining hard. I'm just glad you're there, if you're there. If you're not there, you don't know. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all you are, for all that you offer. Help us to unpack that, I pray, Jesus. Help us to understand how you want to be in our lives all day long relationally, in beautiful and comfortable and clear ways. Open our eyes to see all that you are. Bring us along, take us along, motivate us on the inside to want, to long for touch with you. Not big stuff, not loud stuff, not braggadocious stuff, not miracles, but just relationship. Thank you for being our Messiah, our Lord, our friend, our protector, the one who loves us always, way beyond what we deserve. So, Jesus, we want to welcome you into this room, into our lives, into our families. I just pray you'd touch us through your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. When we talk about in sync with Jesus, I mean, most of you know what it means to be in sync, but we're talking about being close to him, as we talk about often, about linking our lives up to him willingly. By the way, when we talk about linking, it's not because we're forced or we have to or we must, but we willingly link our lives. We want to be linked to him. It's like we want our lives to be yoked to him, as he talks about in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30 or so. And in that place, we find peace and we find safety, even if there's trouble that has been in our recent past or in our future that we don't know about yet. We're going to be yoked up next to him so that we live life all day long as we harvest whatever it is we harvest. We're connected to him. Put your neck right in there. maybe one of the most sensitive places in your life. That, and I can think of one other, but we won't go there. Right? Made you smile, huh? The whole idea is we are to be people who function side by side with him. And to think of that kind of life, it's different than just coming in and out of church, coming in and out of having a quiet time. But attempting in our whatever our marketplace endeavor is, all day long, we're linked up with Jesus, and it makes us more productive, more loving, more caring, more dedicated to our employer if we have one. For Jesus followers, this ought to be a daily goal. It ought to be seen as the highest use of our time. That my life, emotionally, mentally, by willing desire, is linked up with him. It's who I want to be. Not because I have to be, but because of who he is. It's the target we aim at. To be in sync with him. All day, every day. And go on with our life. It's so available. And it's so not thought about. And it should be. It's interesting as we age. And I know some of you haven't. You will. Just watch. Just peek over your fence. And I guess when I say we age, we get some miles on us. And miles can always be seen. We're not going to talk about that. But maybe we have some spare parts that are attached. Maybe there's a possibility that we make noise when we sit down. Leave us alone. Because there's a day coming when you'll make noise when you get up. It's okay. But what happens is legacy becomes a really big word or concept in our brain as we get older. And y'all will if you aren't there yet. It happens naturally. You begin to think about, what am I going to leave behind? Well, what is that? What is it that I got that I'm going to pass on? Beyond money and equity and stuff. That's cool. The Bible honors a man that saves throughout his life and parlays his finances to where it's an honor to have a father and a mother who leaves a legacy financially for their kids. It's a beautiful thing. Not everybody gets to do it, but it's a beautiful thing from the Bible's perspective. You begin to think about how you'll be remembered. And because I have the privilege and the duty to bury people, I'm looking for their legacy with the family 2 to 3 days before we do the service. So I'm in that place all the time with other people and their legacy. You begin to ask, what difference have I made? And in what ways? How have I given back to family, society? What have I done? What have I achieved? No matter what you have, I say today that learning to live in sync with Jesus, you, is what makes the greatest legacy difference in your life. Because it's what matters most. It's just the truth. So how do I pull this off? Living in sync. Couple things, quick today. I don't think I'm going to be long. But if you listen really hard, it might be longer. So you can blame you. Number one, Jesus is asking for us to be close. He's coming after us here. We're continuing in John 14. We've sort of tearing this chapter apart a bit because it does speak of closeness with his guys as he's about to leave them after the Last Supper. But this is what he wants most. And I would love to be able to just tattoo this inside of your brain, that what Jesus wants most is intimacy with you. That's what he wants most. I know you guys. There's about half of you in this room that are trying to fill out all the blanks right now. They're looking ahead. Okay. What Jesus wants most in your life is he wants intimacy. And to get that through your head and take it from your head and move it down to your heart is a big, big deal. Not a little thing. It's a big, big deal. Because I don't know that we believe that. If we believe that, we would give our intimacy to him. And I think we all understand intimacy. I don't know, how many people are you intimate with? I'm not talking husband and wife. That's special. That's cool. That's good stuff. Boy. One of the beautiful reasons why I love being married. But how many people, how many best friends do you have? Guys, other guys. You don't have more than that. You may have another group that you're not quite so intimate. They don't know everything about you. You can talk about anything. Intimacy is a big deal in life. That's what Jesus wants. It's the idea of love. And love is an interesting word. It's a big word. It's been sung about more than any other word on the planet. Love is an intense feeling of tender affection. That's what it really is. That's what it equals. Love is caring deeply about something or about someone. Where you kind of be willing to give your life for it, which is a big deal. You're willing to give anything for it. Look at John 14, 15 as we pick it up in the chapter. Jesus says, if you love me. And people look at this verse, and I think they look at it with the wrong lens oftentimes. Because they immediately go to, oh, here Jim goes again. He's going to tell me I got to obey. And if I don't obey, I'm a bad person. No, you're just not smart. We're already all bad people. We're messed up. We tell that truth about us. We are. We are messed up. But this is all about, Jesus is saying, Jim, I want to be close to you. I really want you to love me. I don't want you to just believe in me. I don't want you to just follow me. I want you, Jesus, to love me. Jim, will you love me? That's what I see here. That's his desire. That's what he really cares about. Do you think he really cares about our performance, like our performance? I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't care. But do you know what happens to you if you fall in love with Jesus? Do you think you're going to screw around the same way you did before when you love Jesus? If you think you're ever going to white knuckle this thing called faith, and you're going to clean your life up, and you're not going to do anything wrong, you are playing make-believe. That's a fairy tale, folks. The big question is, do I want to love him? Do I want to value him? That's what he's asking for. He says, Jim, will you be close with me? Will you be yoked up with me? Jim, will you live in sync with me and not go your own way and not do your own thing and just please yourself and feather your own bed in a million different ways? Come on, Jim, I want you. I chose you. You know me, and I want to be close with you, dude. I don't know if he says dude, but it's okay. He says, Jim, if you love me, if you want to be close to me, he says, keep. And the idea of keep is I got to listen to and conform to. Observe. Follow. Just as he asked the boys fishing. Really told him, follow me. He's trying to call us to follow him here. He says, keep my commands. Keep them. And certainly you could throw the word obey in. I believe the King James has that here. But it's not about your obedience to him. It's your love for him. It's your desire to be close. And your desire to be close starts with his desire to be close to you. If we understand who the captain of the ship is, it's not you. It's Jesus. And he's saying, Jim, get on my boat and be intimate with me. I'm available. Jim, you can be in sync with me. Or you can be half in sync and the rest of the time go do your own thing. How many here have not done their own thing for a day or two, a week or a month? Thank you for nobody raising your hand because all of you could. Just like me. By the way, my commands is all that Jesus taught. And certainly the will of God, but mainly what he taught. There's 40-ish things that are the commands of Jesus. And I think that might be where we're headed in 2017, if that's exciting or not to you. 40 means 40 weeks. That could cover the whole year. Oh, another year. Love needs to mean something. It really does. We all kind of know that. Jesus defines what love for him is, at least in part here. It's to be willing to want to love him back for all the love he's given to us. To be willing to keep his commands, to know him, to listen to him, to learn him. and to decide to respond to him. Then follow through with what's asked. That's loving Jesus. That's what he says here. That's being intimate with him. I care about what he thinks. I care about what he wants. And I care deeply. You know this, my friends, that Jesus wants to be close to you. Let that lead your week in terms of your spiritual thought life. And maybe say it out loud. Jesus wants to be close to me. And I get to choose if I'm going to let him or not. Now, this is easy to push him away. You can push anybody away. You ever give the silent treatment? Come on. To the one you love? Maybe it's just an hour. But you're going to scold them with your silence. You get quiet. Oh, you don't do that? Sure. I'll teach her. I'll show him. I'm going to talk to him for an hour. We can push Jesus away. Number two, Jesus promises another helper. Jesus promises another helper. Now remember that he has already offered himself, clearly. He's going to die. He talked about that he would be their advocate in the last few verses that we talked about last week. And Jesus knows more than anybody, that we need help. You know it, but he knows it more than anyone. He knows it more than you do, that we can't handle things on our own, that we have limitations, and sometimes they're very, very significant. So Jesus offers us some help, which is really cool. Look at verse 16 as we move through the chapter. And I will ask, if you'll be intimate with me and if you'll love me and be close to me. He says, I will ask the Father, the one I submit to. Jesus is the picture of submission to his Father and his will in every way. I will ask the Father, and he will give you. So the words give you simply mean that there's a gift that's coming. There's a gift that's available, and there's a gift that is going to be sent, and it's from God the Father. You can't get this gift from anybody else. This one doesn't wrap well and go under the Christmas tree. He says, and he, my Father, will give you another. And so what he's saying is you're going to get something in addition to what I've already talked about. You're going to get an additional thing beyond what you already have. Another advocate. Here's that word again that we kind of beat to death last Sunday. But the idea is someone to defend you, someone to fight for you, someone to represent you, someone to be in your corner, to support you. You're going to get another advocate to help you. What's the reason for this new gift, this new helper, this new advocate? It's to help us, to make us better. He's going to assist you. He'll comfort you. He will strengthen you. He'll make you better. That's the idea in simple terms. Who doesn't want to be better? All of us do. We'd like to have a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that. I bought a number of those books I've never read, but they're right in there. To know a lot about history in one volume. You have any of those books? You just don't read them, but they're there. Who wouldn't like to know a little bit more? Who, if they couldn't go back to college, wouldn't maybe pick a different major to add to their knowledge base? We all do. Now think with me. If you had a really good friend, best friend, you probably have a couple, hopefully, but one in particular, and he makes a promise to you, or she does if you're a gal, makes a promise to you to help you with something. You pick what it is. It doesn't matter. But they promise, I promise I'm going to help you with that. What is your expectation at that point when that best friend makes a promise to you to help you with something? It's for him or her to come through, right? FS, for sure. I mean, come on. They're coming through. If the commander, David Goldstein, says to me, Jim, I promise I'm going to help you with something, the man has to be dead to not come through. And truth is, for many of you in this room, best friends come through for each other. And the truth is, we don't ask a lot. Nobody's taking advantage of people. when you're best friends. Or at least they shouldn't, maybe no longer be your best friend. Find another. Now, here's the point. It's small, but obviously Jesus is more than a best friend. He's the God of our life. He's our Savior. Jesus promises here to help us. Will he? FS. I mean, if Jesus says, I'm going to help Kenny, do you think Kenny's going to get help? And my question is, do we live every day knowing full well that Jesus says, I'm going to give you another advocate that's going to help you? It's gold. Jesus promises another helper. Number three, is this making sense to you? You're pretty quiet. Does that mean you're being impacted or you're bored? It's one of the two. I never know. Because if you're bored, I'll start telling more jokes. Number three, this helper will be with you forever. Forever. Now, this helper Jesus is referring to, most of you understand, it's the Holy Spirit. That's going to come later after he's killed on the cross and he's resurrected. And he ascends into heaven. And then some days later, the Holy Spirit is poured out on them. The day of Pentecost. Literally, God in us, as the Bible teaches. And look what Jesus tells us about him. It's small, it's short, but please notice how long this advocate, this helper, this Spirit, Holy Spirit, is going to be with you. I got to tell you, I never really saw this before, and I went a little wild here in my head and my heart. I don't know why I'd never thought about this before, but it doesn't matter how long you've studied the Bible or how much you love it. New things pop up all the time. That's the sort of the power of God's word. John 14:6, speaking of the helper. And be with you for as long as you live, right? Oh, am I reading that wrong? Should I get my glasses? He'll be with you forever. He will never, never leave you. You can count on him always. So the Spirit will be with you forever. That's a long time. That's a long time. Well, what does forever mean to you? I mean, just play with it in your brain for just a moment. Forever. We don't really have a good infinity. Okay, cool. You math guys. David's probably going wild in that brain of his. Astrophysics. Forever. Most of you in this room have the Holy Spirit living inside because of what you believed, who you've chosen to follow. Forever! He's never going away. Forever. And this is part of Jesus saying, I will be with you always. I will never leave you. This is God in a bod, and it's yours in forever. So once the Holy Spirit is in you, you will never be without him. That's what it's saying for all eternity. Nothing you have today is with you forever. Not your body, not a best friend, not your wife, not your family. You're not going to be family in heaven. It's going to be different. I trust we will know each other. We won't be dumber when we get to heaven than we are now. But I don't know how God's going to work that out. Nothing you have today has stamped on it forever. Nothing. Nothing. Except the Holy Spirit that lives in you. It's simple, but it's profound. This ought to mean something to us. In other words, in 1,535 years human time, the Holy Spirit that we have right now is still with us. I don't know what that means, but it's cool. And then 2,584 years. I know, you're looking at me, you're saying, shut up, Jim. We can't unpack that. But that's what he's saying. Forever. It ought to mean something to us. It ought to grab hold of us and go, whoa, that's bigger than me. Number four, you having fun? This helper is full of truth. It's full of truth, not full of anything else. If someone is going to help you, accomplish something practically in life. If somebody is going to help you make headway in some situation, find success in some area of life, you generally want to know the particulars. What is their skill set? Especially if you're going to pay them to help you. What is your, share with me your abilities and your experience in order to help me. Jesus tells us here that helper is for us and what this helper is full of. In John 14, 17, as the verse goes on, this helper is the Spirit of truth. So part of the Spirit's responsibility, what it produces, is the Spirit impacts us in a way that helps us unpack truth. Because a non-believer reads a chapter of the Bible and goes, what the heck is that? Now, not all of it, maybe, but it's hard for those of us that know and love Jesus at times to understand. I mean, that's why I spend 10 to 15 hours a week just getting ready to speak in front of you. And you can't even ask me questions, so there. But what the Spirit does is it unpacks spiritual truth to us. Part of what's going on right now as I unleash this message on you, the Spirit is working inside of this room and inside of you and me. I'm doing my best to outline a small portion of the Bible and speak the truth about it in an understandable way that relates to our culture and our lives. But the Spirit is trying to work in your life and make you buy in. I can't make you buy in. I can't. I never have been able to. But the Spirit can. This helper feeds truth into us. He confirms truth as you hear it. If I say something really out of bounds, the vast majority of you that have been around going, Jim, you're out to lunch there. You may not say it right now. But I know that my voice and my definitions and my thinking hits a lot of really smart men and women in this room that have been around the truth for a long time. And I frankly like being accountable like that. I don't like when a man becomes so powerful that his word is God's word. It's not true. It's not true. This helper reveals truth to us, encourages us to live in truth, and also guilts the heck out of us when we step out of line. And I love that part of the Holy Spirit. I love the fact that he'll slap you around and spank you a little bit when we ignore God's will. And he will. Trust me, if he hasn't, he will. The helper will never lead you wrong. He'll never try to trip you up in terms of God's will. Won't do it. Number five, let's keep moving. This helper, the world can't stand. The world can't stand. This is a bit sad, but it's a true reality in life. And it's one that if you really sign up to be a Jesus follower, you're going to find out. And it's got a sad outcome. And I think it's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't want to take this stuff so seriously. Because we all kind of want to be popular. Brian, could you just open that door a little bit, like 2 inches, just to keep people alive in the room? Okay, leave it closed. We'll sweat them out. We'll do Bikram yoga. Shut that door. Shut them all, man. Turn the heater on, dude. We're going for it today. We're going all the way. Boy, there was some moans in this room. And it was all women. Not one of the guys went, oh, Jim, please don't shut the door. That was a little sexist, I know. Ooh, I just said sex up front. My wife says, don't say that word. The world can't stand this helper. This helper can make you unpopular in different ways. He can disrupt friendships and divide families. Yesterday, I heard a gal that was in this very room that I've known for a long time, but her mother was a Catholic and her father was a Muslim. And when she turned to Jesus years ago and accepted him, her father completely disowned her, wants nothing to do with her, and probably would wish worse on her if he's a really devout Muslim. That's just sad to hear. It's sad, but it happens. What are we talking about? Verse 17. The world, as referring to the world's thinking, the world's style, the world's system that is opposed to the God of the Bible. the world cannot accept him. So there's a statement made here where the world is going to function against the Spirit of God. It's going to stand against him. It's dramatically opposed to the Spirit's way of functioning. You know, the stuff we're talking about today, it's got some mystery attached, obviously. We're talking about out there. We're basing it on truth and our own personal experience of what can be, maybe, if it hasn't been. But this sounds like silly talk to the world. For us, this is serious. I mean, we just talked about something that is going to be with us forever. And somebody from the world that steps in here that has no background might go, that is so stupid. And I understand that. Part of this allows us to do that. But the world cannot accept him. It lives in conflict with him and wars against him. Why? Because this is the reason. It neither sees him. And the idea here in those that are living according to the world system, and most of us in this room, many of us, can look back on a long period of our adult life where we are far from Jesus, and this stuff was stupid to us, right? I mean, it was "are you kidding me" stuff. It was a total crutch in life. It was silly talk, right? It can't picture this helper I'm talking about today. We're talking make-believe. They can't imagine possessing this thing called the Spirit of God inside of their life. That motivates, that unpacks, that encourages, that loves, that comforts, that cares for, that leads. They can't fathom it. That's what the Bible says. They cannot accept him. And it goes on to say, and these are the sad words, nor knows him. So the idea is they're far from the Spirit of God. They'll have to be, but they are. They have no relationship with this helper. They don't know him. Again, the world thinks this is foolishness, the Bible teaches. People who refuse to believe and follow can't get why we believe and why we follow. They don't get it. It's all foolishness to them. Now, the fallout, this is what's sad. Because we all want to be peacemakers. We all want to be good folks. We all want to be nice people. We're Jesus people. But the fallout is they, in their lack of understanding, move against the Spirit of God in different ways. It can just be sarcasm or rudeness. They just don't accept any of it. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to be confronted by it. And they don't want to be close to it. We have almost like two magnets turned the wrong way, repel each other. There's a part of what's in us repels other people. And then at times when they're hurt, it draws them. It's a very strange thing to possess this. And some people that are followers of Jesus try to live in both these camps all the time. And they want to be really cool, yet really motivated by the Spirit of God. And this battle war is on. Who am I to the person trying to live in both? It's like straddling a fence that's really high, guys. And the net result is Jesus' followers at times produce conflict because of what we believe. Not because of our preaching so much. It might be that too. And we can create confusion for others. And all that conflict and confusion can mess people up. And friendships up. Families can break up and experience divisions. And days like on Thanksgiving, it can be interesting. There can be friendship disasters, hurt feelings that can last for a long time. Grudges that build and stick with people. Broken hearts that live broken. And have to survive that way. You cannot overstate the importance for Jesus followers to being willing to forgive. This is where Jesus might show up for that person that is ticked off at you because of what you believe? When you forgive their rudeness or their sarcasm or their bad attitude? When you're willing to move beyond past pain that has come your way, unsolicited, maybe unprovoked, but it's come your way, to dump the bitterness that can be built inside of you over somebody that's so dense they won't even hear Jesus to you, and you want to help them get to heaven, right? This is what can mend broken relationships. It's us. It's not them. It's us. If we understand this point, that the Spirit in me creates problems for people who don't believe, it's Jesus' fault, not mine. Unless I'm beating him over the head with a really big Bible, then it's your fault. You see, we can mend broken relationships, and not only that, but when we do, we show off Jesus to others. The people who need him. We represent Jesus well as we follow him and understand what's going on. The world doesn't like what we love. We've lost people in our church, folks, the last 7 years, the last 5 years, the last 3 years, as I very clearly made it the goal, the target, that we're going to love Jesus in this place. And if you don't want to do that, you better find another church, another pastor, because I'm going to wear you out talking about it. And a lot of you just crossed over, and now you're leading things. But some people can't handle it. I get it. Number six and last, let's keep going. Oh, see, you listen too good. This helper is in you and shows up. What Jesus tells the 11 and us is very clear here in the next verse. Pretty much stunning in my mind. The disciples, they didn't get it, right? It was early. And sometimes I think we don't get it, and that's what I hope, that the little bit of a breakthrough that can happen today. Verse 17, but in contrast to the world, who doesn't want any part of it, doesn't like it, stands against it, you know him. These are rich words. Jesus speaking to his disciples, followers, us, in essence, today. You guys are going to get it. Now, he didn't mean right then. It was going to be later for them, but right now, we've got it. Many of us in this room understand it. When this advocate comes, this other helper, you're going to know it. Something's going to be different. For he lives with you. Now, the idea of with you is throughout your life. This is that everyday thing. Every day, all day. He lives with you more than anybody else could ever live with you. He's in sync with you. Choose to be in sync with him and will be, here it is, encircle in you. He'll be in you. One of the greatest things you can understand, if you follow Jesus and love him and have received him and trusted him as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God is in you, and he is a helper for your life. He dwells in you. Now, the world thinks we're nuts here. Understand that. Accept it. But Jesus teaches that the Holy Spirit's available to each and every man, woman, and child alive, that he will live in you, that he will impact your life, that he will never leave you. He confirms your faith. Sandy read this illustration to me a couple months ago, and I saved it, and I felt like it'd fit here. But it starts off with, you ever had a bad day? Ever had a bad day? Of course we have. Of course we have. The illustration says, on April 12th, 1976, so we're going way back. You ever heard of Ronald Wayne? And it's not Batman. Ronald Wayne. I don't ever want you to forget his name. Ronald Wayne. One of the three co-founders of Apple Computers. Ronald Wayne. Sold his 10% share in the company for $800. Anybody here related to Ronald Wayne? Oh. He got an additional, you ready? $1,500. because he was willing to give up all future rights to Apple. He was free. Today, Apple Computer, and this was some years ago, is the most valuable company in the world, worth in excess of $600 billion. His 10% would now be worth $60 billion. And the illustrator ends by saying, that's got to hurt. That's got to hurt. Talk about an understatement. Now, I want to ask you, forget about Ronald Wayne for a moment. Forget about him. Why would anybody pass up having the Spirit of God live with you and in you and be able to live in sync with Jesus? What's that worth? What value does that have? Well, those of us that have Jesus in us, we wouldn't give up Jesus for $60 billion right now. And if you would, you don't know the Jesus I know. Especially you parents that have little kids growing up under your tutelage. And I look at some of you and I think your little girls are growing up in our church. Our church. Now, what difference does that make in their life? Now, Dad would like to have 5,000-10,000 shares of Apple right now. That's still the truth. But it doesn't compare. All right, let's end. What's all this mean practically? Number one, you are not alone. Two advocates. You have me, and you have the Spirit, and you have us forever. Please bank that. Please. To know you don't face difficulty alone changes everything. It makes things doable, life doable. Number two, a JF. And you know what a JF is, a Jesus follower, gets spiritual grief from others. That's what he says. When the world looks at what we believe, it's foolishness. They can't understand it. We have to get that. They can't see it for what it is. Expect the grief. Get used to it. Don't be mad at those that are producing the grief. Pray for them. Love them. Forgive them. Leave them alone. And love them like nobody's business. Number three and last, you have help on board every day. Every day. If we're facing something major in our life, a major project that takes a lot of effort, that kind of never ends. There's not a lot of them, but there are some of them. But an example of this could be, you got to dig a really long ditch. Or you're a single parent, which I believe is the hardest job on the planet with today's culture, bar none. Or the dishes on Thursday, whatever the big project would be. Help has a way of encouraging us and increasing our output. And making us better and improving our staying power. I mean, look at this. Joe and I picked this today. How would you like to have to lay all that concrete and level it yourself? It's not happening. It would be a mess. You'd be a mess. You'd die. You'd get buried in it, all right? One little Instagram for you today. I don't have a video, so that's probably good today. Check this out. Just got this recently from a friend. It'll probably be on Instagram this week. Welcome, 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 welcome. Those big, sticky, complicated problems. In them are your most powerful opportunities. You know, you don't know what God's bringing your way. You don't know what he's going to do through your life. Let him have you. The Holy Spirit is with you. Enjoy it. Let's pray as we close. Father, thank you. Thank you that we could be together and be friends. Laugh. Enjoy, try to learn. And Jesus, we want to see you when you show up. We want to be eager to watch for you. We want you to be welcome in our life all day long. And we want you to feel our love. We want to be intimate with you. Thank you for calling us to that. given us rails to run on to get there. And I thank you for every person in this room. May you bless them. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a great day. Sign up, moms. Sign up. Out front.